Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for the Coach K and Joe Show. The Coach K and Joe Show is brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Hubler and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. Now, here's Joe Milligan and Ken Coach K Schultheis.
Hello, this is Joe Milligan, and welcome to this week's edition of the Coach K and Joe Show. I'm Joe Milligan, and I'm always joined by the Coach, Coach K, Ken Schultheis, and we are literally, I'm not half of the show today. The Coach K part is on the road, and, you know, we may even get a special guest on. Coach is picking up his daughter, Paige Schultheis, and we're hoping to get Paige on to get a Penn State IU review of the game later on, right, Coach?
The only thing my daughter Paige could tell us about the Penn State IU game was how the tailgating, playing in the mud, was in the field outside the stadium before the game. But we got another great show coming up, and as you mentioned to the listeners, I'm on the road, literally, Joe. Literally, Coach K is on the road, traveling through the Bloomington campus of IU right now. On Woodlawn Avenue, stoplight, and watching the students go up and down. And as always, people understand what a university campus is like. Just great energy on the campus. A lot of things going on, and we're here to talk sports and everything that's going on with the Coach K and Joe Show.
Well, you know, I've always heard that Paige, you know, she's a very academic oriented student, very good student, and takes after her mother in that aspect.
Paige is pretty good at everything besides being smart and very nice looking. She just has a little bit of touch of magic with everything she does, whether it's athletics or academics or just anything she likes to do. But speaking of a touch of magic, and I know, Jill, you're avoiding this, and I understand, Joe, why you would be avoiding it, but we're not going to avoid it any longer. How about Indiana fighting Hoosiers and a huge, huge win in the Coach Wilson program and the Indiana University football program as a whole, with a big, dominating win over Penn State?
Well, we do, you know, the Coach K and Joe has a mailbag now, which has become very popular, and we have a disgruntled question from someone who said pick against the Hoosiers last week.
Well, I do have to say this. I watched the entire game. It was outstanding from the standpoint of the Hoosiers. The offense was on target. The defense was as good as it's been. You know, I predicted early in the year that IU could go 5-0. One of the wins would have been against Penn State. Before the show, Joe, I'm going to be honest. I said I did not, during last week's show, before the game, I said I did not think the Hoosiers could win this game because the defense had showed no ability, no propensity to stop the opponent's offensive flow. They did that. Coach Mallory's defensive crew was tough. They were on target. They were stopping anything that Penn State was trying to mount. The weather helped. The offense helped. The offense kept the defense off the field for long stretches, which was great for our defense. Everything fell together. And on a week, the week before that saw Purdue get beat by Northern Illinois, and I'll give Northern Illinois some credit. They did get a top 25 vote. IU comes back the next week and just has what I said was a program resounding victory over Penn State. I know a lot of people want to say that this Penn State team is not a typical Penn State team, but folks, we still have to give credit when credit is due, and even Joe of the Coach K and Joe Show, who is not an IU fan, has to give Coach Wilson and that Hoosier football team a little credit, because we played good, solid, fundamental, inspired football and came away with the first victory against Penn State in 17 tries. And, you know, Joe, even you have to give him a little credit.
Well, the one thing I will say is, you know, being a Purdue fan, I kind of realized, you know, when Purdue in the past 10 years has ever beat Michigan and Ohio State, which they have done, it's always been, well, they're down. You know, when a team like IU or Purdue beats someone, one of the blue bloods of college football, there's always a reason why. It's not that maybe that they just played better than that team, you know. there's always excuses, you know. And yeah, Coach Wilson, I mean, you know, the thing that was it, the offense didn't impress me. They're good, you know. I expected that, but the defense last week was, you know, they grew up a lot, you know. And you know, in any sport, you know, I mean, you get those kids some confidence, and, you know, I mean, it can go a long way. And who knows what, you know, Michigan State this week, I mean, you know, Michigan State doesn't score a whole lot of points. So, I mean, if they can't hold IU out of the end zone, you know, IU could be 2-0 in the Big Ten.
Well, it is a possibility, Joe. I think that the Michigan State team is going to pose a little bit more difficulty, obviously, especially since the game's on the road. But my biggest concern coming off of last week's game is IU capable of putting two really good defensive games together in a row against solid teams? And I don't think IU's there defensively. You know, to our listeners, especially those who are probably laughing a little bit right now, listen, I do not think that IU is there defensively, but I think, Joe, you said it best, and I'll give you credit for your comment. The defense has grown up a little bit. It's matured a little bit. It's getting better. And that's what each team on each side of the ball hopes is going to happen. As a coach, you hope that's going to happen for your team as the year goes on. I know that Coach Hagel is the same way with his Boilermakers, and let's give the Boilermakers a few minutes here because they'll be going with the young freshman quarterback, and this will be an opportunity for, in my opinion, Purdue to start kind of fresh. We've got a new leader with the football. You know, what can we do as a team to build the confidence of this young freshman quarterback and maybe start to build the stepping stones to a solid Purdue Boilermaker football future?
Well, it's not just Henry this week, and the freshman's going to be getting their first start. There are quite a few freshmen, and the funny thing is Coach Hazel in his press conference this week said, we're not doing this just to play freshmen. We're putting what we feel the best players on the field. And, you know, one name that IU fans will recognize is Ripogle. He's got two brothers that played for IU, standouts at IU, is a freshman. They were going to redshirt him, but apparently him and this Panfil and I can't remember the other guy's name, three freshmen have been wreaking such havoc against the first team deep offense when they scrimmage them that there's three freshmen going to be playing tomorrow on the defensive line. And there's also a wide receiver freshman, Danny Monteroso, that was going to start. He was going to be starting from day one and had an injury. And it's amazing how fast these people can come back from injuries that they he's going to be starting this week as well. So there is potential to have two wide receivers, a quarterback, a tailback, and a starting guard, all freshmen. And, you know, he goes like that's his best players, you know, and that's how he's going to do. It's what he's going to do, you know. But, you know, going on the injury thing, amazing how fast people can come back these days. You know, our Indy correspondent, Don Schulteis's nephew, Spencer Otto, you know, he had a break of a leg, and he's going to be playing this week from what I've been told for Jasper. I mean, it's just amazing. You know, usually you broke an arm, you broke a leg, you were pretty well done in the old, in the Stone Ages when we played sports, and it's amazing what sports medicine can do to get kids back these days.
Yeah, it really is. The one thing that you do want to make sure of, though, especially with younger people, you know, those bones are still growing. There's still an opportunity for injury. You want to be careful, and of course, we all think the world of Spencer Otto, and I know the Wildcats are coming off a tough loss with Mount Carmel, and they want to make sure that they, you know, get the hatchets and keep moving on in the Big Eight and into the tournament. And we want to make sure that Spencer Otto is able to continue to play there. So the injury recovery time has been reduced drastically, and that's why wherever you go, you see sports rehab places, and they're packed full. And it's not just for sports rehab, but many businesses use it to rehab their workers, get them back from injury. Insurance companies use them to get people back from work comp injuries. So it is amazing the advancements in medicine. And since I have a daughter that might go into medicine and you have a son that's considering it as well, it's an area that is quickly changing. You've got to keep up with it, and it's to the benefit of all of us as far as coming back from injuries, overcoming diseases, and getting longer lives. And before we become a medical show, Joe, let's jump over to Notre Dame. We've covered IU. We've covered U of E. Let's talk a little bit about the Fighting Irish. They got a victory that looks like they're going to be coming into a part of their schedule where if they're ready to play, they should get a few more victories. They'll have a tough game with Stanford down the road. I still don't like the inconsistency of the offense under their quarterback, Tommy Rees. I know he can make big plays. I know that they've looked good at times, but Joe, let's face it, we always expect a little bit more from Notre Dame. We know that Brian Kelly is capable of putting a great product on the field. It's not that they're not a really good team now. For you Notre Dame fans or you Notre Dame haters, they're a very good football team. But because they're so inconsistent offensively and not quite up to par defensively, they're not a top 20 team.
No, I don't think that. I think that, last year's championship game is a thing of the past, and the schedule, is always they play a tough schedule, but I don't see them competing in the top 20 this year. Just as you said, when they played Purdue, very inconsistent offense that came through at the end, but was very inconsistent. And if Purdue's defense, which has just been terrible this year. But their best game by far was the Notre Dame game. And, Purdue, before Danny Etling, got to be the quarterback, which I expect them to be able to throw the ball downfield when they were so one-dimensional with Rob Henry. And Notre Dame didn't do a very good job stopping him.
No, absolutely not. And that is a concern for me on both sides of the ball. Normally, I'll just have a concern on one side of the ball with Notre Dame. But I do have a concern, and Tommy Rees, for those of you who are trying to figure out why is Coach K always on Tommy Rees, it's not that I'm on him. It's just that I think he's never been a consistent quarterback for the Irish. I think that he's been a big play quarterback at times, but you can't always be going for the big plays. You got to throw the short pass. You got to be able to get the snap counts and pull the defense. You've got to have the great handoffs or fake handoffs that have the defense going one way and the offensive running back going the other way. There's a lot more that goes in to playing quarterback than throwing the deep ball. Another team we got to touch base with, Joe, Ball State. Huge win against Virginia. Ball State's one of the better teams in the state of Indiana. Not much being said about them.
Yeah, they've had a nice year so far, and sometimes when you're a mid major, it's tough to get people talking about you. It's too early to talk about the mid majors right now. I know Northern Illinois is starting to get some press, but those teams, they have to struggle a little bit more to get the attention, it's just the fact of life. So,
well, it was a big win for the Cardinals, and I know we've got some Ball State alumni that listen to the show, and for listeners outside of the state of Indiana or the Midwest and are not familiar, the Ball State University, the Ball State Cardinals, located in Muncie, Indiana, they are a member of the Mid-American Conference, a good solid MAC team on the football side and have been. In fact, Michigan's coach, Grady Hoke, was just at Ball State less than 10 years ago, and he did a phenomenal job there, went out west, and then ended up with the Michigan Wolverines of the Big Ten. So one question I got this week, Joe, before we go to break, some people asked me about when are we going to talk about some of the other schools, non-Division I schools, football schools in the state of Indiana, Indianapolis University, Marion University. Folks, I promise, as we did last year, we will do it again this year, because there are some pretty good teams in the state of Indiana, non-Division One football teams, St. Francis College, Marion, obviously, Indianapolis University. There's a lot of them. We know that we have some Indiana kids, some local kids, since we're out of the Evansville-Jasper area where the show takes place, some local kids that play on those teams. And I know Joe is doing the research as I am speaking, because we'll bring that to the table in the next show or two.
Yeah.
So, Joe, you got to get on that. We got to make sure that our listeners get that information.
I'll do that, but I got one other question for you. They're not in the state of Indiana, but they're almost. And there's a debate going on, another Cardinal team, the Louisville Cardinals, a team that I kind of follow. But with their weak schedule, a lot of people are thinking if they go undefeated, they may not make it to the national championship game.
They won't make it to the championship game. They won't, Joe. I watched them last night against Rutgers. It was a poorly inspired team. Teddy Bridgewater, who is a great quarterback, great athletic quarterback, he had a good game, but not a great game. They're on TV. You got, if you want to play in the national championship game and you're not a top tier, top conference team, you got to play well on TV every time. They're playing against Rutgers. Rutgers has a pretty good following on the East Coast, so you know people are tuning in. Rutgers has had some success in the past 7-8 years. Obviously, their former head coach is with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right now. I just think that every time they take that field, they need to be thinking, we got to play our best if we want to play in the best game down the road, because they're going to have to get a little luck. They've got to see Alabama get beat. They've got to maybe see Georgia get beat again. They got to see some of these SEC teams go down. Clemson needs to lose. Ohio State, you know, Joe, if you're a Big Ten follower and a Ohio State Buckeye fan, there's a chance that the Ohio State Buckeyes aren't going to be playing in that championship game, even if they go undefeated, because some of these other conferences just have a better, are going to have a better power or BCS point standing and a more highly respected conference.
Yeah, and you got to play. You got to, you know, the Big Ten. You know, it's, you know, we're one of the BCS conferences, but we've really, you know, and especially in football as of late, we've been looked down on. You know, the SEC, some of these other conferences have, you know, become the big name, and I'm not a big Ohio State fan, but I am a Big Ten fan, so I'd like to see a Big Ten team in the national championship game. But, you know, right now, in all honesty, the way the SEC is these days, I mean, if they take four teams, they won't, but they could almost take four from the SEC, you know. I mean, it's just a power conference. I mean, they recruit at a different level than, I mean, and can, you know, if you, I don't know if you follow college recruiting very closely other than IU, Purdue, something like that, but Kentucky, with their new coach, is hauling in a bunch of top-name recruits, and I don't know. I'm wondering if the Stoops have a great reputation. Yeah, but I'm wondering if they've learned a little from Coach Calipari on how to do things. I'm not going to go any further than that comment.
Okay, Joe. Well, let's go take a break, and we come back, we'll just talk a little bit of Major League Baseball until we talk to Don Schultheis, our Indy contributor, about high school hoops up in the Indiana or Indianapolis area. We're going to take a break, and you are listening to the Friday edition of the Coach K and Joe Show.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean, modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Nuke's overthrowing at night. Don't look loose. Anything bothering him?
No. He says his chakras are jammed. He's having trouble breathing out of his left eyelid?
Right eyelid.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
You made a fool of me.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show, and we're celebrating the year 1976 today with some great tunes from when Coach K and I were in the eighth grade. And Coach, did you recognize our clip? What movie we're featuring today?
All I know is that's the Electric Light Orchestra, and also known in circles as ELO, and that is a great, great song. Evil Woman, baby.
Yep, and the movie clip was, you know, since we're big into the Major League Baseball playoffs right now, we got little Bull Durham going today too as well. So it's 1976 slash Bull Durham Day today on the Coach K and Joe Show. Now, Coach,
speaking
I got a question.
Go ahead.
I got a quick question. Before we start talking Major League Baseball, I do want to get a quick prediction on IU Michigan State, and I want to get a prediction from you, and then I'll give you my prediction real quick. We don't need to spend a whole lot of time on it. Then I want to also get it from the person who's got her ear to the grindstone there at Bloomington and get a prediction from Paige as well.
She's shaking her head at me, but we'll see if we can get something out of her. So you want to know my thoughts on Michigan State IU?
Yep.
Okay, well, I'm going to take Michigan State at home, and this is a prediction that goes along with what we talked about early in the year. I did not think IU was going to have a lot of success on the road. You are right, Joe. Michigan State does not score a lot of points. It's just whether IU can put a defensive battle together, fight tough enough at Michigan State. I'm going to take Michigan State 27, Hoosiers 21.
Okay, it's opposite day. It's like you're the Purdue fan and I'm the IU fan because I have a differing opinion. I think that Michigan's IU's offense is going to be able to score enough points to win in East Lansing, and I don't think the inept offense of Michigan State will be able to do it. Well, they'll score, but they're not going to score enough to keep up with IU's offense. And I'm going with IU 35, Michigan State 24.
Wow.
What's Paige's prediction?
Paige, what's your prediction?
Well, since I'm a Hoosier, I'm going to go with IU 24, Michigan State 21.
Wow.
Ooh, that's a pretty good prediction, too.
You know I'm on the outs here. And to the Hoosier Nation, I apologize, but I'm following my trend of early in the season. Of course, you remember when I predicted IU, I thought they could go 5-0 at home, and they ended up with 3-2. So it's not too bad. But I just don't know that we can go up on the road. But, Joe, you make a valid case. Michigan State has been inept on offense. But I am just worried that on the road, IU's defense is going to make them look like they know what they're doing. Here's the only thing that I will give credence to what your prediction is. IU's defense has to play just well enough. They don't have to play great, do they? They just
have to play well enough.
Yeah, because IU's offense, if they come and do what they need to do, they're going to score points.
Yeah, and, you know, if you remember, you know, my prediction when we predicted the whole season, I predicted a resounding thumping by the Spartans or the Hoosiers. And after watching both teams play over the last 5 weeks or whatever, 5 weeks has it been, 5 weeks, I'm going opposite now, so.
Well, I think there's a lot of people listening who probably agree that if IU had an early opportunity in the Big Ten season on the road, this would be the time. The situation up at Michigan State has just got people stymied. This was supposed to be one of the better Michigan State teams, and offensively they could, you know, you could give them a couple blind dogs to help the blind, and they still couldn't find the end zone right now. It's just almost ridiculous. So we have to touch base real quickly on the Major League Baseball playoffs. Not that we have a ton to talk about, but we did have a big win last night by the Detroit Tigers. Oakland took them to the brink, but they could not. Billy Beanball could not break through, and the Tigers under Jim Leyland will once again go to the American League Championship.
Yeah, you know, that was a good win for Detroit, and you know, I will be, you know, I think I've said it before on the show. I'll say it again. You know, if the Boston Red Sox or the Cleveland Indians played IU, I'd paint my body cream and crimson and go yell like crazy for IU. And, you know, so I will be one of the biggest Detroit Tiger fans in the world. And, you know, I'll have the Cardinals. You know, I live with two Cardinal freaks. That's what I call Cardinal fans, because they're not fans. They're freaks. They're crazy. And Larissa and Liz fit that mode, and they're Cardinal freaks. And so I'm going to have to live with the Cardinals, you know, over the next, you know, when, you know, it's been tough to have three Yankee fans in this house these days, because you got the Cardinal freaks always going crazy.
Yeah, it's really interesting, and I'm sure there are Cardinal listeners right now who are mad because we didn't bring up the Cardinals first. But the Cardinals will be playing for the National League Championship. Once again, I hate to say it, but the Cardinals are in and have another shot at going to the World Series.
Yeah, they got a tall order, I think, though, with the Dodgers. That's a team that's playing great ball since the All-Star break. I mean, unbelievable.
And they have Donnie Baseball. I mean, what a great story. I'm sure if Brian McAtee is listening, he would love to be talking right now about where the Dodgers were in June and where Donnie Baseball was in June to where they are at this point. And it hasn't just been great pitching, although they've had it. They've had timely hitting. They've been inspired by a rookie. They've had just everything kind of fall right. But, Joe, here's the big question for you. What is Magic Johnson and that ownership group thinking? They have not given Don Mattingly an extension as manager yet.
Yeah, you'd think that that'd be a no-brainer. It wouldn't, you know, I mean, because he's done a great job. I mean, they just, you know, you're right. You know, if Brian was on, you know, I mean, where they were and where they are has just been, it's been night and day. And, you know, it has to start with the coach. You know, you coach, you know, I know you coaches don't like to take credit, but, you know, it starts with the coach, you know, and he's done a great job with that program, with that Dodger baseball team. And, you know, if I was a Dodger fan, I'd be screaming right now, let's lock him up, you know. Heck, you never know. He's from Evansville. Maybe U of E needs a coach, and he decides to go back there.
Well, you know, there's a lot of opportunities going on You've got, I don't think the Cubs have chosen a manager yet. Girardi went with the Yankees, is going to stay with the Yankees. Cincinnati, I don't believe, has chosen a manager yet. So, hey, Donnie Baseball might be fielding some calls from those organizations right now. I know that he is not this excitable PR machine, but he's solid. He's got a great reputation. He's solid. He brings a lot of credibility to your ball club and a lot of credibility as a manager.
Well, you know, you talked about the Reds, and, you know, we both are on Facebook, and I read a Facebook thing by you once about maybe who would the Reds consider Scott Rolen. I have to ask you, since, you know, you've coached him and stuff, would Scott Rolen ever consider being a coach?
I don't know if Scott Rolen would consider being a manager at this point. First of all, he hasn't officially retired from baseball as a player. Second of all, he might. And with his young kids before he would come back. But I will tell you this, and I don't think that Scott's any different than most people. Human nature, when you've played at that level, been on that level, and done something so well for so long, and you leave it, after a year or two, you start to feel those hunger pains of having that back. And I've told you before, there's a 3 or 4 year period when you leave something that you've had passion about, it takes to get past that. And whether that's something that Scott can do, I don't know. Would he be capable of being a manager? Absolutely. I think he's got a great mind. I think he has great control of his emotions. The only thing that Scott would probably have to realize is the way you played is not the way the other people play. And a manager, a coach, has to teach, guide, instruct, and motivate his players or her players towards doing the things that they do well and doing them the right way every time. It's like I've talked about in basketball. Quit looking at the scoreboard and start playing each possession. Whether you're on offense or defense, it's the possession, not the scoreboard, that matters.
You're right. You're exactly right.
Well, let's take another break, Joe, and hopefully when we come back, we'll be talking with Don Schulteis, our Indy correspondent. Let's see what happens. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Uvalar with Uvalar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Right now, Uvalar's has a huge selection of awesome pre-owned vehicles, cars, trucks, vans, sport utilities, in most all price categories, and they're all priced to sell. Some are certified, and some have special low APRs, but best of all, they are all priced to sell. Uvalar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends for great pre-owned vehicles since 1929.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Look, he's waving. Hey, he's just your old man. He's as full of shit as anybody.
Hey, what's going on?
Breathing through the rough.
Eyelid again? No, shut up.
Hey, did you guys hear about Jimmy and Millie?
Yeah.
They got engaged. Can you believe that?
Hey, anybody says anything bad about Millie, I break his neck.
Excuse me, guys. I got a game to pitch
here. Mira, una brujería. I just said, hey, you guys, don't tell me anything. My girlfriend put a curse on my glove.
I'll take the hex off the glove. Give me the glove.
Well, then you got to cut the head off a live rooster.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This time right, then I thought, seems like it's all
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe show, and we're joined by Indy correspondent for Indy Hoops, Don Schultheis. Don, it is 1976 Tribute Day, back when you were like a little seventh grader. But before I let Coach go loose on you, I want to ask you a quick question. What's the rumors about Trevon Blewett up there in Indy?
Well, it's interesting. You ask, Joe, because that is the talk of the high school circuit currently. You know, we're in a period where a number of coaches are visiting open gyms, and college is actually started practicing, but high school, they're conditioning and having open gyms, and they'll start practicing here next month, early part of next month. But Trevon, it's, you know, before I answer that specifically, I will say, you know, if you look at some of the top recruit, high school recruits in this area, and if we include Bossy's Jaquan Lyle, all four of these guys, Trevon Blewett, James Blackman, Trey Lyles, Jaquan, they had all committed. And so we wouldn't even be talking about these four guys if they'd have stayed with their commits. But all of them have decommitted, and Trevon has been the most recent. A month and a half ago, he visited UCLA with Steve Alford and his old high school coach, Ed Schilling, and they closed the deal on him, and he was heading to become a Bruin. And just a couple of weeks ago, he decommitted and opened it up. UCLA is not in the mix. They said they will not go forward trying to recruit him. He said, stated publicly, that he wants to stay closer to home. So the names that we're seeing here are, you know, your typical. Butler's back in. Purdue's on the list. Xavier University out of Cincinnati's on the list. IU, it was stated that they are not pursuing him as a recruit, and I don't know if that is a result of them signing or getting the commit from Robert Johnson here recently or not, but they will not be pursuing him. But a couple of other names, and Michigan State, your archenemy, Joe, is I think, really high on the list. And Memphis has been a school that has been mentioned here in the last week and a half. You may recall Jason Gardner, 1999 Mr. Basketball and Arizona star. He's joined the Memphis staff, and he is recruiting Indiana hard. So Trevon is taking an official visit, I think, here in the next week or two, and so we'll come down to his decision, I hope, before the high school basketball season starts. And for your listeners, he's the number 45 recruit, according to Rivals, ranked in the nation. He's 6'6". He's a shooting guard, but he can play the point. He's a fairly thick kid. So, you know, he's a really nice player, and I think would be additive to any of those schools. My favorite in this whole mix is, I think, Tom Izzo and Dane Fife, who was recently spotted at their open gym, are going to end up recruiting him and signing him up.
You know, Don, first of all, great stuff. I mean, I think a lot of people, a lot of our listeners who follow high school hoops wondered, you know, what's going on with Blewett. I think there's probably a couple of areas, roads we could go down. We could talk about the social media part that's pulling these recruits together. They're communicating constantly, maybe discussing who's going where, whether I want to be in a situation where I have to beat this guy out or not beat this guy out. Coaches change. They get out to a school. They find out it's further away than they want to be. There's a lot of dynamics that make up this scenario. But beyond that, we're talking about a time really that's unprecedented, at least for you and I, at least where we have been able to hear about all these players, these blue chippers, as we called them for years, top players who have committed, and you know, social media goes crazy, and everybody talks about it. Jaquan Lyle leaves Boise High School and goes out to a prep school. A lot of people felt like Rick Pitino had a hand in that. And then 30 days, 45 days, and in Blewett's situation even less, they're decommitted.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And as I said in my opening comments, I mean, in addition to those two guys, you've got James Blackman, who was an IU commit, Trey Lyles, who is my favorite for Indiana Mr. Basketball for this year. He's out of Indianapolis Tech High School. They should be the best team in the state. They should be ranked number one in their class, but also number one overall. I mean, they've got, in addition to Trey, they've got two Ball State recruits that have committed, and they've got a point guard that's a sophomore that Purdue's looking at. And, you know, he's climbing the rankings. So I saw him play four times last year, and they should be the team to beat. But, you know, getting back to the point, it's unbelievable the, you know, these guys committing and then decommitting. And there is, I guess there's so much more information going. You know, it's funny, speaking about Trey Lyles, when he narrowed the list down from his four schools to the two schools, Louisville and Kentucky, he photoshopped his photo wearing a Louisville jersey and one wearing a Kentucky jersey and sent it out on Instagram and Twitter and everything. And, you know, you just, in some ways, you kind of think, who's advising him to do that? Because he's just fueling the fire, you know, who's ever on the short stick of that one. You know, those fan bases hate each other the way it is, and, you know, they're going to blow that picture up and start throwing dirt or darts and burning it and that kind of thing. But as I predicted on this show when he when we announced that last year, I think old Trey is headed to Kentucky and join Coach Calipari. That's my prediction. It was back then. I still hold true that that's where he's going to end up going. James Blackman, you know, just to mention where he's at, IU's on his list, Kansas, Kentucky, Michigan, and Michigan State. He's taken official visits to Kentucky and I think Michigan State here in the next couple of weeks. And he's tentatively stated that he will be announcing by the 22nd of this month. He said that could change, but he hopes to get it announced on the 22nd of October, and he's going to be a big catch. And the good thing for the IU fans is that they're still on the list. But I, again, I sense that he might be looking north of here to either Michigan State or west of here to Kansas is my prediction, but who knows? I never count Coach Calipari out. So,
Don, do you think because Blackman still has the possibilities of coming to IU that it's still out there? That's why IU came out and said they weren't looking at Trayvon Blewett. Was it in order to bolster the confidence of Blackman that, hey, you know, we picked up the guy, Johnson, I think his last name's Johnson, but, you know, we still want you. And if you're going after Blewett and you're going after Black, are we getting to the point where these college coaches, because of social media, everybody knowing everybody's business now, they're going to have to, as I've mentioned for the last year and you've mentioned as well, they're going to have to watch the approach they take with these kids because the information's so open now that if you're talking about this kid over here, this guy over here may not be as interested in coming your way.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of that going in. But, you know, behind the scenes, Coach, you know as well as I do, it could be Trayvon's let the assistant coach or let Tom Crean know that he's not interested in IU or – you know, as they've looked at Trayvon and the other players that they've got, in the spots they've got. Maybe they just don't, you know, need that position any longer. And but you know, who knows? But the social media is definitely makes everything so fluid, and the information flow. I think the challenge for the recruiters is to really have, you know, the kind of dialogue that you need directly with the players, so that they can screen all that noise out. Because if they can't do that, then you know, there's rumors are dime a dozen. There's all kinds of stuff going on. But I will say, Coach, that Coach Lewis and Butler picked up a nice recruit out of Louisville Ballard last week, Kellen Martin. Four-star. I mean, he's not an Indiana player, but it was. There's a lot of press on that, and I think from Butler's standpoint, given that Brad Stevens had departed to the Celtics, that was a big catch in their net, and kind of sets the stage for a really nice recruiting class for Butler this year.
Yeah, I talked with Michael Lewis about that a little bit, Don, and he was pretty excited about it. Obviously, they can't say a whole lot, but he's pretty excited. He thought that was a great pickup for him. And that gives Butler a shot at confidence, don't you think? And it also gives other recruits out there a reason to keep looking at Butler because, hey, they're getting some guys to fill that cupboard that can keep Butler successful, competitive, and challenge in that conference.
No doubt about it. You know, Kellen Martin joins another recruit, Tyler. I'm not sure how to pronounce his last name, Weidman or Wiedemann. He's from Lake Central. I saw him play last year around Christmas time. He's 6'7". He's a three-star rated recruit, but good, solid player. I think has a lot of upside. Good, thick, athletic, strong athletic body. And Kellen is 6'6", 210 pounds. He's a four-star rated recruit. If they could somehow get Trevon to stay local and join those two, they'd have a heck of a year. And, you know, that would definitely give them a nice continue to build on their base as they enter into the Big East. And I think it's going to be a lot tougher schedule for them.
Oh, the Big East is going to be one of the greatest challenges that has faced Butler from an athletic standpoint. They're doing all the right things, though, Don. They're redoing, Butler Fieldhouse. They've got a lot of money. A lot of people are pouring resources in to update that facility, keeping the beauty of an old great basketball place to play, and yet updating it. They're in a great conference, or at least a step-up conference. The only difficulty, and I've said this from the very beginning, was the area they need to recruit from, the East Coast, is a little tougher for them. So they've got to hit on key kids in the Midwest.
No doubt about it. And with the departure of Coach Stevens, you know, there was something there with him. There was a mystique about him being at the national championship game 2 years in a row and the success he had. And, you know, I'm happy to see Brandon Miller and really Coach Lewis be able to continue to make headway selling the Butler story, the Butler way. That's just kudos for them as they venture off in kind of this next chapter. And Butler's got a great story, but it sells much bigger here in the Midwest than it will, you know, at least initially as they enter into the Big East out in the East Coast and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it does sell better in the Midwest. They do have a national story because they went to two straight national championship games. But, you know, one of the key pieces, and folks, I am not questioning the staff at Butler. I love the staff at Butler. Michael Lewis is just one of our favorite guys, is an outstanding assistant coach. But let's face it, Brad Stevens, he took on a Bob Knight, John Calipari type personality. No, not that huge, but from a national perspective, everybody in the media
if you said Butler, you knew Brad Stevens for sure. But if you said Brad Stevens, you knew you could connect it to Butler. And that brought Butler into the discussion because you said Brad Stevens' name. That's not the case right now, but it doesn't mean they can't continue to build a strong tradition and stay up in that national picture in those top 50 teams. But you got to recruit. And bottom line, Don, you got to recruit.
You got to recruit. Brandon Miller, I mean, again, I think he's got a great reputation as an assistant coach, track record, player, all of that, Michael Lewis. But they've never won a college game yet. He's never won a college game as a head coach. And so, you know, you're losing that reputation of Brad Stevens. And, you know, if you can bring the recruits in and start winning, hey, more power to them. And I hope they, you know, do extremely well and continue that story, because it's been a great tradition, especially here in the last 8 to 10 years.
You know, Don, I know you've got a couple of other things you have to take care of today in our segment. We're going to have to end up here in a couple minutes with you. But one thing that I wanted to jump back to, and for our listeners, Don will be with us all year. He was on hiatus for a couple weeks. I think he was in D.C. working out the budget talks, bringing some resolution, bringing two sides together, and he's back with us now. But, Don, one of the things that I think, again, we have to enter in discussion-wise at some point, I thought you brought it to the forefront today, and maybe we get Tom Deanhart to join us, and maybe Mike Pegram from Peaks.com and have a little forum sometime on the show, is you said it best. Who's advising these young guys from a recruiting standpoint, how they're voicing things on social media, what they're saying on Twitter, what they're saying on Facebook, how they're photoshopping? This is where I think, and this is my opinion, this is where I think the confusion of AAU and high school basketball has hurt these young men and these young ladies. You had a head basketball coach at your high school, and he had some pretty decent authority and leadership over you as a player, because everything fed through the high school coach. Now you've got the AAU side. They're not beholden to a superintendent or a principal, or there's no repercussion from a school standpoint. And these kids, you know, we've had situations already, Don, where kids have not played their senior year, just played AAU and gone on to play in college basketball.
No doubt about it. And I would love to join in on that discussion. I'd love to find a reporter or somebody that's really, you know, looked into these prep schools and these AAU programs and learned a little bit more about how it is. It's definitely different. There's no doubt about it. In fact, the AAU circuit in a lot of ways holds a lot more weight in getting these guys' attention and ultimately, you know, getting offers and accepting offers from colleges and things like that. I mean, high school coaches play a role, but it's not the prominent role that it used to be. And it's just very different. And I'm not sure how it's all going to wrap itself up then, but, you know, there's a lot of it I don't care for, but, you know, I'm a traditionalist when it comes to that kind of stuff. I always felt like high school can be great memories. And speaking of that, I'm really glad Trey Lyles stayed in an Indiana school for his senior year. And I do think the Tech has a chance to really make some noise and maybe even history for that school. It's an IPS school that up until recently has really struggled, and it bodes well for him to stay in. And unlike Jalen Coleman, who used to play at Cathedral last year, went on to a prep school up at La Lumiere. You know, you just hate to see some of those players think they have to go to the prep school to get what they need.
Yeah, Don, again, great stuff as always. get the government back on track, get things reopened, and get Obama and Boehner working something out. I think that also, I agree with you on Trey Lyles. We should be applauding him for staying in Indiana high school basketball, and he definitely is. If he continues to perform the way he's capable, he'll be my Mr. Basketball man. Don, thanks for being with us. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll catch up on a couple things. Hopefully Bill Sahm will be joining us. We'll talk about Indianapolis high school football, and then potentially we'll have some mailbag questions after that. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tony Ubelar with Ubelar Chevy Cadillac in Jasper. Have you ever heard a car ad that looks too good to be true or has fast-talking fine print?
Buy before midnight tonight. Maybe okay, maybe not. You probably aren't eligible for this event. Ubelar's prices are better, but you can't know that.
You want to hear Ubelar's fine print? That's right, silence. Our prices will save you money, huge inventory, even bigger discounts. Ubelar & Sons Chevy Cadillac in Jasper, where customers send their friends since 1929.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
You are a regular nuclear meltdown. You better cool off. Where are you going?
After 12 years in the minor leagues, I don't try out. Besides, I don't believe in quantum physics when it comes to matters of the heart.
What do you believe in then?
Well, I believe in the soul. The small of a woman's back. The hanging curveball, high fiber, good scotch, but the novels of Susan Sontag are self-indulgent, overrated crap. I believe Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone. I believe there ought to be a constitutional amendment outlawing AstroTurf and the designated hitter. I believe in the sweet spot, softcore pornography, opening your presents Christmas morning rather than Christmas Eve, and I believe in long, slow, deep, soft, wet kisses that last 3 days. Good night.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Tom Deanhart of the Big Ten Network, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. This is the Coach, Ken Schulteisen. Man, if you're out there and listening to the show and you're looking for lines to use on your special lady or special guy, you better watch the movie Bull Durham and get some of those lines we just heard on that snippet. Celebrating 1976, we've listened to Electric Light Orchestra and you name it. But I am on the road. I'm about ready to sing on the road again, but I'm not going to because my daughter who's with me probably would frown on that. Believe it or not, I'm going through the rich Hoosier basketball tradition town of Lagodi, Indiana. And if you know anything about Hoosier hysteria, high school basketball, Lagodi, Indiana is home to what? Famous person, text Joe or text me at 812-480-9449. What famous connection to Hoosier hysteria is Lagodi, Indiana, little Lagodi, Indiana in southern Indiana? Okay, on the show with me now is one of the all-time great contributors to the show when it comes to the NCAA or Indiana high school football, especially in the Indianapolis area. You're not going to get any better than talking with Bill Sahm. Bill, great to have you back.
Hello, Coach. How are you? Beautiful day in Indianapolis for high school football.
Oh, I'll bet it is, and so much good football going on up there. You know, the top class in Indiana high school football, well, it's basically the who's who of the Indianapolis area. What that is a group of schools that they beat up on each other, and some of them come out with the victories, but it's competitive up there.
It's very competitive this year, and it's probably as good a year of just overall high school football in the Indianapolis area as it has been in many years. I think sometimes we all get a little we get excited about maybe a premier team that is just rolling through the whole city, but you have a lot of football teams that are 5-2 and 4-3 and 6-1 because, as you just said, they're beating up on each other. It still, to me, though, looks like Center Grove is probably just a little bit better than everybody else for the long haul. But, you know, you have Ben Davis right there. And, you know, Pike is 4-3, Coach, and I think Pike has righted the ship. They struggled early. They have an immense game tonight against Carmel. And for your listeners, it's actually on ESPNU. So, once again, Indiana football goes national, which is a real feather in all of our caps and for recruiting purposes, just for the respect of the sport of football in the state. So Pike is at Carmel on ESPNU. Carmel is 5-2. Pike is 4-3, but again, I think if you pay close attention to this game, I think at the end of the day, Pike will probably prevail. It's also an interesting game because there's a couple great football players in there. You know, Pike has a great wide receiver, Booth, going to Tennessee, and then Austin Roberts is a great wide receiver that's going to UCLA, plays for Carmel. So that's kind of the probably more premier game in the city tonight.
You know, Bill, what is your you know, we talked about Pike a few times on different shows we've had, and you had some thoughts about them as a quality team. What has turned things around for Pike?
Well, I think their defense is playing a little bit better. You know, Pike scored 30 or more points in all but one game this year, and they just did not have the defense quite put together early in the season. They had a couple injuries, but things seem to be falling in place defensively. Pike is, you know, Pike's a little bit like Cathedral or vice versa. The Cathedral and Pike are going to put points on the board. If both of those football teams can get their defense organized, then, you know, starting Sunday night when we learn who we're all playing for the next month, that both of those teams could be exciting, but that's a good point on your part. Pike is right at the ship due to their defense.
Okay, and Warren Central, a team we really haven't heard a lot of this year. They've struggled a little bit. You know, still a solid team. What's with Warren Central?
Well, they're just not very disciplined, but I think also I think we just have to own the issue that they're with a first-year head coach. You know, they're going through a transition. Jason West, the former LC coach, Warren Central coach, who won a state championship, left and arrived at Warren Central in the late spring. So those kids, they don't even know their coaching staff. You know, they lost their defensive coordinator. They're just still trying to understand the program. Warren Central's 4-3. And Lawrence Central, who they play tonight, is 3-4. It's an interesting game because it's going to turn into a very emotional game because of, you know, Coach West leaving LC and going to Warren Central. Warren Central, you know, I don't know that they necessarily have the quarterback situation figured out. They don't have as many Division I kids as they have in the past. And then again, because they're going through a coaching change, Warren Central is going to be fine, you know, year in and year out. This is just a year of adjustment for them. They're going to be okay tonight, though. Lawrence Central, it's too bad for that group of young seniors. You know, they lost their quarterback early on, and they just haven't been able to find the kid that they need at that position. That's an interesting game, probably not a premier game, but interesting because of the storylines.
You know, Bill, you've been around football all your life. You've been around the college level, the high school level. We had a game where it was a predominantly run-oriented game. And now when we talk about a school losing a quarterback, it becomes much more important than just calling the plays or maybe changing a play at the line of scrimmage, which you didn't see that very often in high school during the time that we were coming through, or in the 80s or even the 90s, early 2000s on the high school level. It was predominantly a guy that came in, he's a pretty good athlete, could throw the ball some, but he was great at handing it off or running with it. The game, high school football in the state of Indiana and around the nation, but the state of Indiana most recently, has changed. That quarterback, when you lose a good quarterback, you've really lost a key asset to the team now.
The game has completely evolved. You're exactly right. We used to find a quarterback, and you would spend the winter talking to the young man about managing the game. No turnovers, protect the football, just move your team down the field and manage the team. You now tell a quarterback, hey, you've got to move this football team. We want to run a fast offense. We want to throw the football. You know, back in the day, you used to have 40, 50 football plays on the offensive side. My goodness, even in the high school game now, there's 60 and 70 football plays just because everybody is, you know, running a very fast-paced situation. And the quarterback is the key, which segues a little bit into the whole Southport conversation. You know, Billy Peoples is probably one of the top three, four coaches in the whole state of Ohio, and he does a great job with that speed-up offense. Southport's 7-0, have never been 7-0 in the history of the program, and they're having a heck of a season, but they're doing it with a sophomore quarterback. And the kid can just throw lights out. He's very intelligent, and he can do what Billy needs him to do. And you know, Billy calls the plays from the sideline as they're lining up and gives the young man a couple options, and he chooses one, and off they go. But, yeah, good point on your part. The quarterback has definitely changed the game to the extent where he has got to make great decisions, and he can win and lose games. And, again, since we're in Indiana, I mean, that quarterback, the same thing as a point guard these days, whereas in the old days, he was just a manager.
When you look at this from a coaching standpoint, as we get ready to talk about a few more teams in that Indianapolis area, but as you look at this as a coach, how has this had an effect on the coaches on the high school level? I mean, what when you look at the coaches on the high school level, does this have to create a new type of coach for the high school level in Indiana?
Well,
with the quarterbacks?
Yeah, I think the answer to that is I think it has sharpened our coaches. I don't know that you have to change. I mean, if you're a football coach, you understand the game. You love the game. You have a passion for it, and you're always open to new ideas. But with the change of the offense that we have in this day and age, I think it has really sharpened the coach's edge to the point where they have to spend a whole lot of time preparing and a whole lot of time in understanding and coaching. And then they have to be sharp as an edge on Friday night because, again, you're not using the whole play clock to call a trap play or to run an off tackle play. You're trying to get 65, 70 football plays out there. So I think it's made Indiana football coaches better. I think they have really improved the game. I think they've given young people a shot at all different levels of college football because of their expertise and their desire to get better. But I think it's made folks just hunker down a little bit more and be creative.
All right, well, take us on a run around Indianapolis and let us know about the teams that you're seeing big things out of or the players. It's your show. Take it.
Well, Coach, interesting game tonight, not so much by record, but Ron Colley at 4-3 plays Decatur Central at 4-3. Decatur Central is the highest scoring football team in the state of Indiana, and they have scored 40 points or more in their last four football games. So that's going to be interesting. Ron Colley, there's something wrong over there right now, and they're not playing as a team. You know, last week they were up 21-0, and they lost to Martinsville 42-21. So they're down, you know, again, they're at 4-3, just like Decatur Central. But I think Decatur Central will probably prevail in that football game, and it'll be interesting to see if Ron Colley can slow them down at all. You know, we mentioned Pike and Carmel again. They're on ESPNU, so that would be a lot of fun for folks to tape, I think, and then watch it when they get home from their own high school game. Warren Central and LC got the emotional edge there with Coach West returning. But an interesting Catholic high school game up here in Indianapolis is Cardinal Ritter and Cecina. Interesting for a couple of reasons. First of all, they're both good, but they're both now in 2A. So it's going to be interesting to see how
Cena and Ritter go at it. They actually play on Saturday night, so for those folks that are looking for something to do on Saturday, if you go over to the University of Indianapolis, great facility, good place to watch a game. You'll see a real good 2A game in Cardinal, Ritter, and Cecina. You have Cathedral. They're 3-4. They play Tech tonight. It's Cathedral's homecoming game. It's also their senior night's last home game for Cathedral. We're playing the game at Tech. Tech is a very good football team. Tech has a great tailback who is being recruited by Indiana and many other schools. Tech's nose tackle is 305 pounds. He's probably a Division I kid, and they're a well-coached team. And as your listeners probably followed, you know, they were in a little bit of a scuffle 2 weeks ago, which was disappointing because I don't think it's reflective of Tech. They are one of our Indianapolis public schools, but they've, you know, the coaches there have done a good job and just got a little bit out of hand. So this will be an emotional game for Tech because they had 12 kids suspended last week and their head coach, and all those people come back. And I would guess that Tech thinks this is a year they can get Cathedral, but I really don't think that Tech's going to be able to stop Cathedral's offense, which has been kind of starting to hum along at a pretty good rate. But those are kind of the highlighted games. You know, I think we need to watch Southport. They play Bloomington North, see if they can get to 8-0. You know, Bishop Chittard, another Catholic game. They're playing Darien Catholic. Chittard should probably roll through that pretty easy. Brebeuf Jesuit, you know, 5-2, best record for them in years. They're playing North Putnam. That should be a W for them. So Ben Davis is at Lawrence North. Ben should be okay. You know, they should, this time next week, we should talk about them being 6-2. But, you know, we'll get through Friday. And Coach, you know, Sunday night, that's when we start thinking about who's going to be still playing on Thanksgiving weekend. I think the selection show is around 7 o'clock, and I think it's live on TV, and it's live, obviously, on the web. So there'll be lots to talk about in the coming weeks.
Well, it will be, and I think that we'll also be talking about the teams that may have success in the tournament and their success caused them to be penalized by the IHSA and possibly have to move up with the success rule. Bill, when you look at the classes as they sit right now, I have a text here from a listener. They want to know who you think are the top teams in the classes at this point. The number one team, in your opinion, in each class.
I think the number one team far and away at the moment, because they're playing so fluidly and well together, is Center Grove in 6A. I think it's a little bit more of a jumble at 5A. And I'm not a homer. I haven't figured out Cathedral High School yet. I mean, I like their offense. I don't like their defense. But they seem to figure it out over the past couple of years. So I think in 5A, you're looking at Cathedral. You're looking at Westfield, who's having, you know, Westfield is 6-1, and they're as good as they've ever been. And then I think you're going to have to think a little bit about Terre Haute North in 5A. So it's a bit of a jumble. 4A, I think New Pal's pretty darn good. You know, they're 7-0. Columbus East, I know, is 7-0, but Columbus East just doesn't have a very difficult schedule. So we'll just have to see in the early rounds of the playoffs how well they play. Columbus East has a great tailback, but right now I'd say New Pal. When we move to 3A, you know, I like Brebeuf Jesuit, but, you know, they haven't been there. So are they going to be able to handle the pressure? But they're probably the top one of two teams, along with Andrian, who is 7-0. So that's going to be kind of interesting. West Lafayette is 7-0 in 3A. You know, they're pretty darn good too. So those are in 6, 5, and 4 and 3. That's kind of who we're looking at. I think in 2, we obviously have to look at Ritter, and we have to look at Cecina. They seem to kind of be the class of all of that. And then finally, I think in 6A,
or excuse me, Ritter and Cicina, I think, are the ones that we have to keep in mind as we move along. Eastern Hancock in 1A is undefeated, so I think we're going to have to put those folks on the radar for 1A.
Good stuff. You never disappoint, Bill. But before I let you go, you know, last time we talked, we both kind of criticized Indiana, the Hoosier football team, and we questioned whether they were good enough. And defensively, we were both just so disappointed with them. And Coach Mallory was able to rally those troops. And even though it wasn't a great Penn State team, they got their first victory over the Nittany Lions in 17 tries. The first victory over a Big Three, which is considered Michigan State or Michigan, Ohio State, and Penn State in 49 tries. Wow! You know, we both have coached, and we both realize that sometimes that happens. But I got to tell you, I was just pleasantly, happily surprised at the effort on both sides of the ball by IU.
They kept their nose to the grindstone. The coaching staff deserves credit. I think what it probably shows is in our frustration immediately after the game, they knew internally that they have toughened that football team up. They stayed focused. They kept their nose to the grindstone. And dagburnit, they did. They came back and beat Penn State. And I think the proof's going to be here in the pudding with Michigan State, because Michigan State is a middle-of-the-road football team in the Big Ten. They don't score very well. They don't score hardly at all. Their defense is pretty good, but you'd like to think IU's offense is decent. But yes, that coaching staff, and you know what, those Hoosiers on that football team deserve a great deal of credit, because they could have cashed it in, and 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, they very well may have. And I think we're going to see a really good Michigan State IU football game tomorrow.
Well, I certainly hope so, and I think that you bring up the point we talked about it early on the show. Michigan State has difficulty scoring, which gives us some hope from an IU defense who's coming off a really probably their best effort of the season, so momentum's in their favor. We know IU's offense is very, very capable. It just depends on what schemes they come up with defensively at Michigan State. But I really think another point to make is that off week really is a benefit to a football team to kind of regroup, recharge yourself, and put your game plan together.
Absolutely. Those off weeks do help. I think people can get healthy to get rid of their nicks and bruises. It gives everybody a day off or two to get their academics organized and gather themselves. And it appears to me that coaching staff, too, is spending more time taking care of that football team, whereas 2 years ago they thought they had to, you know, be yellers and screamers and get rid of some kids and toughen up others. I think they're really just coaching football now. So there's no doubt they need more talent. They need better talent. Everybody always does. But great win against Penn State, and tomorrow will be a big measuring stick.
Well, we know they're tougher, and so we'll see what happens. As always, Bill, great stuff, and you threw in a little bit about the academics, just like an NCAA guy would, and that's the most important reason you're in college. Unless you are just absolutely the greatest player on the planet, you got to get your academics done. Thanks for being with us again, Bill. We look forward to the next time.
All right, have a good week. Thanks.
All right, I'm on the road, and so is the Coach K and Joe Show. We're going to break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job, so don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit ideafusionmedia.com. That's ideafusionmedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family, cleanings and exams,
natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Oh no, he's shaking off the plug. Big mistake.
The son of a throwing a two-hit shutout. He's shaking me off. You believe that shit? Charlie, here comes the deuce. And when you speak of him, you speak well.
Told him I was going to throw a deuce, right?
Yep. Man, that ball got out of here in a hurry.
Do you have a question or comment for Coach K or Joe? You can call into the show at area code 773-897-6325. Now, back to the Coach K and Joe Show.
This is Cody Zeller, and you're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show.
Yeah, Breaker 19, this here's a rubber duck. You got a copy on me, big fan, come on. Yeah, 10-4, Big Ben, for sure, for sure. By golly, it's clean, clear to Flagtown. Come on. Yeah, it's a big 10-4 there, Big Ben.
And we're back on the Coach K and Joe Show. And, you know, we're celebrating music from when Coach K and I were in eighth grade. Convoy, a big hit. Humongous hit. You can't tell me right now you couldn't say all the words to this song, Coach.
10-4, good buddy Joe. 10-4, Breaker 19, Breaker 19.
Are you manning the TV or has Paige got it? What's going on?
Oh, I remember when your brother Steve, the current coach of the Jasper High School girls and boys golf teams, does a great job. I remember when he had a CB in his car. And I remember going down to watch the national softball tournament. I think it was the 16 and under, 18 and under boys down in Georgia. And I manned that CB the whole way, Joe.
I remember when he got a CB too. Yeah, I don't remember his handle. If anybody out there knows, please call into the show at 773-897-6325. And tell us what Steve Milligan's handle was on the CB. Coach, it's time for the Coach K mailbag. Are you ready?
Yes, just a second. I got a text. I had asked earlier when I was going through Lagodi, Indiana, what famous connection to Indiana High School Hoosier Hysteria basketball did Lagodi High School have? And I got actually several texts. They talk about being a small school, going to state finals, but the actual answer was from John, and John told me that it's the home of the all-time winningest high school basketball coach in the state of Indiana, Jack Butcher. And Coach Butcher is alive and well, and boy, could he coach, because I know because I coached against him, as did my father before me. He coached a long time, and he won a lot of games.
I got that wrong. I think I texted you Chad Wade. So I guess I was wrong. So. But, Coach, you ready?
I'm ready. Mailbag time.
Speaking of Steve, I don't think this is the same Steve. This Steve is down in Tell City. He's saying that the KHSAA banned the after-game handshakes because of problems they were having. What is your opinion?
Well, Steve, I would say that I have no problem with that. And I know a lot of people say, oh, you know, sportsmanship and everything like that. But let me put it to you this way. If you're going to shake hands, let's do it before the game. Let's do it when everybody's emotions are at an even keel and you haven't gone through four quarters, two halves, whatever game it might be, whatever you might be involved with. Because immediately following a game, where kids, young men, young women, have given their very, very best, where coaches have given their very, very best
to try not only to play hard and play with passion, but to win, because that's why they keep score. Folks, no matter what, I don't care who you are as a listener, feel free to text or email the show, call it, and debate me on it. But the bottom line is they're keeping score. So there is someone that wins, and there is someone that loses. And the first 10 minutes following the contest is like anything else in life. Right after you come out of a test, a difficult test, right after you get off work, doing a difficult job, there is a time to come down emotionally. And the emotions do not end because the buzzer sounded, the horn went off, the time went to zero. It doesn't end. And whether you're an adult coach, whether you're a fan in the stands, or whether you're those players who just gave everything they had on either side of the court, won or lost, it's just not the best time to expect kids to go over and shake hands as if nothing happened. I've seen this over time where it's a pat on the back or a listless handshake or not even handshaking. They're crying, they're disappointed, they're upset. It's just not a good time. If there was a better time after the game, let's do it after the teams have gone to their dressing rooms. Maybe on their way out of their dressing rooms, they stop and they shake hands with the visiting team. But I have no problem with it. I think that the politically correct people of the world, and, you know, just because people claim it's politically correct doesn't make it correct. You know, there's a lot of things that we do legally and call it correct that's wrong. And I just don't know that shaking hands immediately following the game of any kind of contest is necessary. If you want to, fine. As you walk off the floor, fine. But I don't think it's something that you should have to do.
Okay, that's your opinion. My opinion is I don't care either way. But then again, I do have kids that have to shake hands, so I guess I would, you know, last week, you know, Jasper, a little disappointed. You know, I don't think there's any trash talking. Mount Carmel's very good, clean school. You know, you got a kid that's disappointed and someone looks at him wrong. You just never know, you know. And so maybe it is best just to do away with that. But next question is Mark. He didn't tell me where he was from. He said, Eric Dickerson is being inducted into the Hall of Champions by the Indianapolis Colts. Do you believe that he deserves it? I don't.
Well, I think that there's probably a couple ways to look at it. You know, he was traded to the Colts later in his career. I can remember, well, Joe, if I remember correctly, wasn't it Halloween night or something like that he actually came to the Colts and played? Or it was around that time. Didn't he rush for like 200-something yards in his first game with the Colts? Amazing. He was a great running back for the Colts. He had over 5,000 yards, I think, for the Colts. Had he played for the Colts his full career, he'd had 10,000 or more. He didn't. But when he came over, he gave the Colts a heck of a boost. He actually put the Indianapolis Colts on the national map again when it came to football. So if you want to say, did he have a great impact on the Colts, and did he give the Colts a great impact on football on a national level? Yes, he did. Did he perform well for the Colts? Yes, he did. Did he make the Colts better? Yes, he did, a lot better. So, yeah, I think he deserves to be in that ring of honor. Now, if you want to look at it as purely, well, you know, it was a trade later in his career. He wasn't on one of some of the great Colts teams. Okay, you have that opinion. But if you're talking about, and I think this is what rings of honor, Hall of Fame should be about, did they have big impacts on the team? Did they do outstanding things for their team? Did they make their team better? Did they bring something to the table for the Colts? We're not talking about the Football Hall of Fame, which he's absolutely a Hall of Famer, but he did those things as well for the Indianapolis Colts. So, yes, I think the Ring of Honor with Marshall Faulk, absolutely. He's deserving, and it's great for the Colts and their history.
My opinion is, you know, you don't have to be important to a program. You don't have to have spent your whole career at a place. Or, you know, if you just have one, for instance, last night had gotten a discussion about Purdue, and someone said Billy Dicken. You know, I don't know if you remember Billy Dicken, Coach. He was the quarterback in 1997, Joe Tiller's first year, and he was a safety the year before because they had moved him to safety, and Jim Coletto's all his wisdom. And, you know, he came out and had an unbelievable year, and there's always been talk, you know, because the cradle of quarterbacks is Everett and Breeze and Herman and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I've always said, for what Billy Dicken did for Purdue that year, helping him put them back on the map that year, I think he deserves to be a member of the cradle of quarterbacks. You know, he didn't have the yards that Scott Campbell and Bob Greasy and Mike Phipps had, you know, and Gary Danielson, et cetera, had. But his impact on what he did for Purdue that year, it warrants to him to be part of that, you know, and that's just my opinion. Last question. You've already answered this, but I've got to ask you, because Jim and Jaspers asks, what is your prediction on the Michigan State-IU game? Please pick against IU again. I guess he thinks you're a jinx or something.
Now, just remember, Jim, I picked four of the Hoosiers, three out of their first five games. I picked all five games for Hoosier victories. They did win three. Now, I picked against the Hoosiers last week when we talked about it again. I am picking against the Hoosiers again, as I said earlier in the show, 27-21. I hope I'm wrong. You hope I'm wrong. And I'll tell you what, Jim, Coach K does speak the truth. So if the Hoosiers pull this one off, I will do my best to pick against them the next week. Joe, I'm actually traveling through Jasper. You can tell it's harvest season in Indiana because every town that I've driven through on 231, 45, whatever, the combines are out, the grain trucks are out, and they're slowing traffic down to about 20 or 25 miles an hour, even on the main road. So all is good in southern Indiana in the fall. It's harvest time. It's time for hay rides you name it. It's time.
Okay, well, you ready to take a break and get started with the rant?
I'll tell you what, we will take a break. Jim, I got to say to Jim that last question, ouch. Ouch that you would want me to pick against the Hoosiers. I think what you're saying is, Coach K, you got to pick against the Hoosiers because you bring nothing to the table for them. Okay, I'll do what I have to do for the team. I'll give my best or pick against my team for the team. I'm a team guy. And as always, Joe, Coach K speaks the truth. We're going to a break. You're listening to the Coach K and Joe Show. I think we're going to a break.
Coach, yeah, we are supposed to. The little thing is twirling around like it's like it's trying to
it's
get started,
thinking,
but just won't. Yeah, so let me click another one, see if we can get something going here. I'm not getting anything going here, so.
We've caused confusion to the internet system.
The internet is kind of freaky right now, so let's just stay where we're at, and I'll tell you what. You pick a subject, not politics, and I'll go get Kurt Duxell.
Oh, not politics? I can't talk about the budget crisis. Okay, let's talk a little sports. We've got the beginning of the NBA season. And I was up in Bloomington on Tuesday night and attended a function with one of the first families of Indiana high school basketball, the Zeller family. The Zeller family runs a program called the Distinction Program. And Cody Zeller and his brother Tyler and the oldest
looking for a dentist,
brother Luke.
Does your website work for you? Your website is an employee. You wouldn't continue to pay an employee that didn't do his job.
Started.
So don't pay for a site that doesn't produce results. Whether you don't have a site yet or want to improve an existing one, Josh at Idea Fusion Media can help. Want your site to be found easily on search engines like Google? How about growing your business via social media like Facebook? He can help with that as well. Idea Fusion Media, web design that works for you. For your free website review, visit IdeaFusionMedia.com. That's IdeaFusionMedia.com.
Looking for a dentist close to home? Look no further than Harmon Dental Care. Harmon Dental Care offers dentistry for the whole family. Cleanings and exams, natural-looking fillings, crowns, bridges, and more. With convenient hours and a clean modern office, you'll feel completely comfortable. Call Harmon Dental Care today to schedule an appointment at 482-1060. Harmon Dental Care, creating beautiful smiles.
Oh no, he's shaking off the sun. Big mistake.
The son of a's throwing a two-hit shutout. He's shaking me off. You believe that shit? Charlie, here comes the deuce. And when you speak of him, you speak well.
And we're back to the Coach K and Joe show. I think we've taken the internet to the limit. Things are playing when they're not supposed to, and sorry about that. We are at the mercy of the internet and Blog Talk Radio, and I looks like it's solved now, hopefully. And we're back for the rant. We've got Coach K. We're joined by WBDC Sports Director, DC Broadcasting Sports Director, Kurt Gugzel. Kurt, are you ready to rant?
I'm ready to go. How are you guys?
Kurt, it's great to hear your voice, and I'm gonna rant real quick on Joe. He's the executive producer of the show. He's working the board. He can't get things to come on. He's telling me to start a different subject. I start talking. All of a sudden, the commercials start. I'll tell you what. He blames the internet. I'm blaming the executive producer.
Well, I just got a little tired of you talking, so.
Hey, Kurt, before we get into ranting, let's talk a little PAC football. Let's talk a little PAC football. Go ahead.
That'd be great. I don't like the rant. Turned over a new leaf.
Okay, what do you got?
What do you got?
I really like how this conference is shaping up as we get towards the end of this season with the Southridge-Gibson-Southern matchup.
Well, we talked about that even in week one, how this was going to play out. And you can do that with some of these high school football schedules and conferences. And it's, I know we're in week eight, but week nine is going to be an absolute blast. Raider Field going to be crazy. Gibson Southern in at Southridge. I can't wait. We got to wait one more week, but it's going to be unbelievable.
Are you surprised that Gibson Southern has garnered such respect in such a short time as far as the polls are concerned? I think they're sitting at one in one of them and two in another. Has it surprised you? I mean, it's great for the conference, but has it surprised you?
Kind of, because they were a good team last year. They went to the semi-state. I think if you finish 1 year high, no matter how much you lose, you're going to be put up there at the beginning, kind of like college football. It's tough to go down if you're up there at the beginning, if you just keep on winning. And Gibson Southern hasn't lost yet, so they've came in on a high note, and they're still there. But they've got a good team. They've got a good sophomore class that's really doing the job for them. But, they're going to meet a team in week nine that they've not met before. And I don't know what's going to happen either way, but they're going to be in for their toughest game of the season come week nine.
Kurt, as you look at this Gibson Southern team, is it similar to recent years, or do you think this is a step up from what they've had the past couple years?
I think it's a step up because they've got a really good line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball, and they've got a good sophomore quarterback in Sellers that's doing a nice job. They've just elevated their game. Again, whether they can do that against a really, really good team, we'll have to see. But so far, so good for Gibson Southern. And Coach Hart, they're playing pretty well. And they've made a great commitment to football, which I'm glad to see. And I wish more people would do that as far as hiring, you know, assistant coaches that are teachers and just deciding you're going to be good in football or going to be respectable. In this case, they're good. But that's not the case everywhere, obviously, when you look at all these blowouts week after week, the lack of commitment. But as far as Gibson Southern is concerned, I'm very impressed with them so far.
All right, let's talk about this Hoosier football team who stunned us all. I don't care what anybody says. We knew that it was a possibility that they could beat Penn State. The off week absolutely helped them to kind of collect themselves. Coach Mallory did a great job on the defensive side to get that team clicking. Coach Wilson and the offensive side, the staff, got the offense moving again. This was a Penn State team that we thought IU was capable of competing with at home when the season started. I think we got a little nervous after the Missouri game. But, Kurt, what are your thoughts, your feelings on the first victory against Penn State in 17 tries?
Well, I thought it was a great situation. They're coming off the bye week. They kind of retooled some things defensively. They were going to play more aggressive type of defense, and they could afford to do that against a Penn State team that starts a freshman quarterback in Hackenberg. They also are not a big play type of team, so you can kind of be more aggressive and press the issue a little bit. And it came up great for the Hoosiers. And, you know, and they didn't beat them 17-16 or 23-22. They hammered them. So, you know, they took advantage of some plays in the special teams. They got the offense rolling against the Penn State defense. It was probably the best part of their game. So I was very impressed with that game, you know, and I thought it was a great win for Indiana. All of them are, but especially last week, it was really neat to see.
I think it was a huge win, and it was neat to see because the value of the off week, I don't think you can in any way underestimate how important that was to mentally, emotionally get collected and just keep building this team going forward. Michigan State coming up, and the Hoosiers have put themselves back into a position where, you know, they have a chance to be looked at as a bowl team, qualify, and possibly a decent one. And again, I know what fans are saying. I know Joe's probably laughing. He's talking bowl again. But you're going on the road against a Michigan State team that has just stubbed their toe almost every time out. They're not great offensively. It is a situation that if Indiana can go in, I think we have to play turnover-free football. And we have to have a defense show up that's ready to play. But, Kurt, just thinking about this game, you got to feel like the Hoosiers can feel good about it.
Well, I think so. Michigan State's very limited offensively, although they got it going a little bit against Iowa, and Iowa's not very good, but it was a road win. They decided on Connor Cook at quarterback, so that's going to help them stability-wise try to get something going offensively. And everybody talks about the Michigan State defense, but I feel good about Indiana's offense against basically anybody. But here's the Michigan State defense, and we talk about all these bad non-conference schedules. Other than Notre Dame, they've not played anybody. And that defense is ranked awfully high, but, again, who have they played? But that being said, Michigan State's a better program right now than Indiana, but it's not out of the possibility that Indiana goes up there and gets that win. But I'd like to see them just go up there and play well. If they come up short, you know, that's a lot better than they have done in previous road games at places like Spartan Stadium or Michigan Stadium or Ohio Stadium. So that's what I'm looking for. Can they build back-to-back games together against two good programs? And, you know, you're getting laughed at about the bowl scenario. That win against Penn State went a long way because they played three. There are three wins right now. They entertain Illinois. They'll be favored in that one. They'll be entertaining Minnesota. They'll be favored in that one. And sorry, in Joe's situation, they're going to be heavily favored against Purdue. So that's six wins. Whether they win those games, they're fully capable of stubbing them. They're throwing every one of those games. But that win against Penn State was really, really big. And again, if you're 6-6, that doesn't make you a good football team. That makes you bowl eligible. So I think they had a good shot at Michigan State, going back to what you originally were talking about.
Yeah, the only thing is, I think you made the best point of all. You talked about even if they don't get a win, if they go up and play good football, it's a momentum building situation for this Hoosier team going forward. And I know now we're going to be okay with losses. Now that's not what we're saying, but
no.
This is a program. Yeah, this is a program that's still progressing, and we want to go on the road, Kurt. I think this is your point. You want to see them go on the road and establish themselves as a team that can go into somebody else's house in the Big Ten and play good football. Even if they don't win, they're in the game, they're competitive, and they put themselves in a position to have a chance to win.
Well, I agree, and I think you can look back to last year's game. In Bloomington against that same program, they were up 17-0. That was one of those that they were just sick about losing last year. I mean, Michigan State came out in the second half and just blistered them. But, I mean, that should show you that they can go up there and compete. Whether they do, they may fall and trip all over themselves tomorrow. Who knows? But, again, they're not going to Alabama. They're not going to A&M. They're not going to Oregon. They're going to Michigan State. And, you know, it should be a game that they can play well in.
Kurt, let's look at this Big Ten overall. And I really want your thoughts on this because I have some definite feelings of my own. The pundits were pretty critical. Now, I want to say this the right way. I don't want to mean that they were coming out blasting the Big Ten, but they really kind of put the Big Ten in the second tier of BCS possibilities for a championship game because Ohio State did not go in and blow out Northwestern. They questioned whether, even with Ohio State going undefeated, whether they should have a chance at a BCS berth for a championship. Is the Big Ten not getting enough credit? Should we not? I mean, why should we think, or why should national media think, that Ohio State can just walk in to a very competitive Northwestern team, a program that has put several years together now and continues to win? Why is it that because they didn't go in and win by 4 or 5 touchdowns, all of a sudden the Big Ten may not have a team that's worthy of a national championship game?
Well, it's kind of like the old SIAC bias in high school football. And the same thing with the Big Ten. We're programmed, because this is all you hear, that how good a league like the Southeastern Conference is, because they've had all those champions. They are top-heavy. The Big Ten's top-heavy. We look at Ohio State, maybe a Wisconsin, Michigan. But you go down that line in the Southeastern Conference, there's teams that aren't any good in that league, too. And I think that's where a lot of it comes from. They automatically, and if you don't do your homework or you don't pay attention to it, you'll say, oh, yeah, the SEC is the best league. And it may be, but I don't think the Big Ten, the Pac-12, which is unbelievable when you're talking about Oregon, UCLA, Stanford, those type of teams, why aren't they up there? Because people tell you that the Southeastern Conference is the best league. But, you know, Ohio State goes on the road and beats a pretty good Northwestern team. So, you know, I give them credit. They haven't lost in 2 years, and Urban Meyer still hasn't lost. But this is these situations where you almost got to play it out and see how the numbers are at the end of the season. Because if Ohio State keeps on winning and winning in the Big Ten with the teams they're going to play, it's going to be tough. I don't know how the computers are going to have this, but it's going to be tough to keep them out of that game.
The interesting thing to me, Kurt, is that last year when they weren't bowl eligible, championship eligible, and they run the gamut of games, everybody's saying, oh, yeah, they could have played for a national championship. Well, what's changed this year? You've got a team that's just as good. They're still winning. They've had to use two quarterbacks. They're still winning. They bring a very good quarterback, at least from the national reputation, back after injury. They're still winning. Northwestern wasn't somebody that you just walk over at this point. I guess I'm just confused at why, and I understand when the SEC and the Big Ten has gone head-to-head, the SEC has dominated. I get that. But not every team in the SEC is a great team.
Oh, that's my point exactly. You know, that's what we're beat over the head with. So, you know, again, we're gonna figure some of this stuff out next year when you get to determine a champion a little better than they do now. But I mean, I guess this is what makes college football great, because this is what we're gonna talk about, especially when these BCS rankings come out and maybe at the end of the season when we got 2, 3, 4, 5 teams that are still undefeated. I mean, you know, Louisville's sitting there. You know, they're getting ripped all over the place because they didn't crush Rutgers, or they don't crush this team or that team. But, you know, winning's not enough anymore. So we're never going to settle this way. So just, I guess you just enjoy it. If you're a fan of a team or if you're coaching a team, just do the best you can, and you can't change anything.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do about it. Let's just jump into pro football, since we're on the football line. We've talked a little high school, talked a little college. The big game on the horizon, looming on the horizon. I call it a big game because for people in the state of Indiana, it's a win-win, in my opinion. The Broncos and the Colts looming on the horizon. Two great quarterbacks, one as good as you can get, and one that may be as good as you can get down the road. Kurt, the things Peyton Manning's doing, the things Andrew Luck's doing, just your thoughts. I mean, you love football. You've been around football a long time. Just your thoughts on these two guys.
I just can't believe that they're making this game look this easy. It's playing quarterback, no matter what level, it's the toughest thing on the field that day. Maybe even in any sport, it's the toughest thing to do. It's not just dropping back and throwing the football. You've got to know where everybody is on the field. You've got to call out coverages that the normal person may not even realize. That the quarterback gets up there and he tells through his signals and through his hand motions who's going to block who, who's going to get the ball, are they going to change a play. That's even before they let a football fly down the field. And Andrew Luck, Peyton Manning, they're doing all that, plus hitting receivers with big, large, angry men running after them trying to put them in the ground. If it goes beyond just, you know, hey, this kid's got a really strong arm, we're going to put him at quarterback. You know, you may do that in fifth grade football or whatever, but even in that level, you got to have a guy that knows what he's doing. It's kind of like a point guard or, you know, a catcher or whatever. But this NFL football, they're making it look awfully easy. But in turn, it's something to be said for those guys. Go in there, they're the first guys at the complex. They're the first guy to greet a teammate after a good play or a bad play, or moving guys around or leading the team or leading off the field. And the guys that do that, even in fifth grade football to the high school level, to the college level, those guys are doing a great thing, and those guys are the successful guys. So on one hand, I can't believe that they're turning this NFL game into a video game on how well they're playing it. But on the other hand, listening to how they go about their business and how people react to them, I'm not surprised. If that makes sense, because, you know, those guys do the things that you need to do to win. And then you got knuckleheads on the other hand. They wonder why that they can't get something done like that. But with those two guys, you know, I mean, they make it look easy, but, you know, they work at their craft.
Yeah, and you know, I think that Elway and Kelly and Marino, those guys ushered in this new era of quarterback, and it's just gotten better and better and better. And you talk about the working on the craft. It's not just putting one of the best athletes behind center, and he's a faster runner, he's stronger, he just throws a pass. They're working with their receivers 12 months out of the year, 10 months, 11 months out of the year. They've gotten to the point
where they don't wait for the guy to get open. They throw the pass, and the receiver knows exactly where that ball's coming. It's so much timing has gone into this. It is beauty. And it reminds me of the great shooters in basketball. You know, people see how effortlessly these guys can shoot. They don't realize they spent hours and hours and I mean hours shooting those shots over and over, making that move, just going through that over and over to get that done. And that's what these quarterbacks bring such beauty to the game now. For Luck to do it so quickly coming into the NFL, I think we all knew he could. It was just whether the Colts could put an offensive line up there that could allow him to do it. He is getting hit quite a bit, but he's still making those great passes. And Peyton coming off not just a career-threatening injury, but a potentially paralyzing injury to parts of his body, and to come back with the advent of improved medicine, with the great offensive line that he has, and he is just, it is a video game. Kurt, you said it best. It's a video game watching these guys play.
Well, and they look for every matchup. If guys like Peyton Manning and Andrew Luck and Drew Brees, if a guy's shoulders are turned a certain way, they know what they're going to do with the ball. If a guy's lined up on this hash mark as opposed to the other hash mark, they know where they're going to go with the football. And if something happens during that little progression, they know where they're going to go with it the second or third time. And as I mentioned with those guys to begin with, and it's the most underrated thing that's involved in all this is the leadership that those guys display. And you got, and anybody can question me, and that's your right, but I see a lot of games on all levels. When those guys in that huddle, in that locker room, believe in those guys, whatever sport it is, that goes a long way. And those guys do not want to let Peyton Manning down. They do not want to let Andrew Luck down because they know what he put into this. And I see it on the high school level. If they believe in the guy behind center, a lot of those guys that may not be as good athletes as those guys, they look at that quarterback or that point guard or that pitcher, they look at him for answers. And when that guy like Andrew Luck or Peyton Manning can give you those answers because of what they've put into it, that goes a long way. I'm just a big believer in how you lead a team, and those guys are the best.
Kurt, I am 100% agreement. I dare anybody to question you on that because the quarterback position is forever changed by these guys and some of the guys I mentioned earlier. It's forever changed not only on the pro level, it's changed on the college level, and as we were talking about earlier in the show with Bill Somm, who's coached both on the college and high school level, in capacities as assistant coach. It's changed on the high school level as well. It's just changed. And if you're going to be a quarterback, you got to be a true leader. You got to be smart when it comes to understanding what's in front of you. You got to be able to make adjustments throughout the game, and you got to be able to pick up the nuances and create. Folks, you're a coach on the field. Create the nuances with your receivers, with your guys coming out of the backfield, on where they're at is going to depend on what you're going to do with the football. It reminds me of when I was coaching basketball and we'd spread that floor a little bit. We didn't just spread the floor and hold the ball. Where people cut to, the elbow, the hash mark, the short corner, determined what we were going to do with the basketball. It wasn't just accidental. It wasn't just something you had to think on the floor. So, Kurt, I agree with you 100%. Again, the college, high school, pro-level quarterback position changed forever.
Yes, it has. And it's those guys that play it and play it well, it's a great thing. Because, like I said, it's the hardest thing to do on an athletic field.
Yeah, absolutely. We got 1 minute left, Kurt.
Okay.
Anything you want to touch base on? What do you got going on?
Well, I heard you guys talking about the shaking of hands, that whole Kentucky deal, and they're right on track. I watch games, and, some of these people that say it's bad or these PI people, or PC people, they don't go to games. They don't know how hard these people compete and these coaches compete. It's the last thing you want to do is you want to be a good sport, be a good sport during the game or be a good sport during the week.
They expect these coaches and these players to shake hands. These coaches are cheating their brains out against each other, but expect them to shake hands like nothing's the matter after the game. You know, if they go to you competed for 32 minutes, just go to your locker room, like you said, come out later, or be nice to them during the game. But, you know, if you're competing on a big business deal, you don't go shake hands with your partner, your business partner, but you lose a big business deal, you're not going to the other guy and shaking hands. And, you know, and if they're having problems with this, with fights and things, do away with it. But, I watch all these high school games and these half-hearted good games, with their hands up in the air as you go across the volleyball net. You know, if you're going to shake somebody's hand, look into their eye, and give them a firm handshake like you mean it, or you do mean it, that's one thing. But it's just the pomp and circumstance of it all means you don't need to do it.
Kurt, you are right on. Again, I'll go back to what I said earlier. Do it at the beginning of the game, or do it after you come out of the dugouts later after the game, or the dressing rooms later. You have competed your butt off. You have given everything you got. You're emotional. Sometimes when you win, it's okay. Sometimes when you lose, it's okay. But you're emotional. And you said it right. These same people that want political correctness on these high school games, college games, or pro games, they're the same people that will cheat the guy in the business deal to make sure he doesn't get it and she gets it, or she doesn't get it and he gets it, and not think a thing about it. And believe me, Coach K can talk about that because I've been on both sides of the aisle.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And, you know, and if they don't want to do it after they've cheated their partner, that's fine. Or they're cheating their opponent, that's fine too. But, you know, I just thought it funny that would be a big uproar topic, because the people in sports, that's nothing new. We see, you know, we know how it is when guys compete after a hard-fought
sure.
game. You know, and I can understand you're in that line and there's a big fight, because guys are pissed. Guys are not happy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Excuse my language, you know, and I just the way I thought it was funny. I didn't think there'd be like this big uproar, but I guess a lot of people are upset about what are we teaching the children? But again, those same people, like you said, saying what are we teaching the children, do a lot of stuff that they shouldn't be teaching the children.
I don't see John Boehner and President Obama shaking hands right now. I mean, to me, it's a competition. For the moms and dads listening that think we're advocating poor sportsmanship,
no.
We're not. We're actually advocating good sportsmanship. Do it before the game. Wait till you've had a chance to shower or settle after the game and leave the gym that way. But right after, it's all ridiculous to think can stop their emotions.
Do you think somebody that tied around Indiana, when somebody gets beat 65-0, you think that's the last? Do you think, you know, on either side, you think you want to go shake your opponent's hands that just got their brains beat in, or vice versa? No, but there's still respect, because I'm sure later on when they drive home on the bus, you know, they go, you know, that team was pretty good. You know, we played a pretty good team. You know, but we didn't mean we had to go shake hands with them, because they're upset. And the team that wins the game big, you know, deep down, they're going to be sympathetic to that other guy. But to sit there and have to go across the field and do something that you don't mean, what's that teaching?
Well, I truly believe that the people that decided about shaking hands regardless probably never played the sport. And again, to administrators listening, I'm not advocating not having a good attitude. I think you need to, but I think you said it best. After we leave the court, have a chance to settle, have a chance to decompress. Boy, we're very complimentary of the team. I can't think of many teams we played, individuals, coaches, that I didn't say, man, that guy's really good, or boy, that program's great. But when you're competing, you want to be as good. You want to be better. You just need 10 minutes. You just need to decompress a little bit.
Yeah.
Having said that, we've ranted all we're going to rant this week. I think we make some great points. Joe, take this Coach K and Joe Show edition for this Friday home.
Well, it's been a great day. Great show once again. 70s music from 76, Bull Durham quotes, Kurt Duxell, and, you know, Paige Schulteis. It's been a great, great show. And for Kurt
Duke Fell, and for Coach K, I'm Joe Milligan, and we'll see you next week.
The following presentation of the Coach K and Joe Show was brought to you by Idea Fusion Media, Ubelor and Sons of Jasper and Vincennes, Harmon Dental Care, and by Jasper Today. See you next week.